Okay, so picture this. An engineer, a psychologist, and a theologian are out hunting in northern Canada, way out in the woods. All right, have you got that picture in your mind? They come across an isolated cabin, way out in the wilderness, not near anyone, completely isolated. Needing a rest, they knock on the door. No answer. But they discover the cabin's unlocked. So they go inside. And what they find is this simple little one room with just a few pieces of furniture. Nothing surprising about the cabin except the stove. It was a large pot-bellied cast iron stove like you would expect. But what was unusual was its location. It was suspended in mid-air, like 5 feet off the ground, and attached to the ceiling beams by wires. Fascinating, says the psychologist. It's obvious this lonely trapper, isolated from humanity, has elevated his stove so he can curl up underneath it, kind of like going back into the womb. Sounds like a psychologist, no? Nonsense, the engineer says. The man is practicing the laws of thermodynamics. By elevating his stove, he's found a way to circulate the warm air through the cabin better in the cold winter. With all due respect, says the theologian, I'm sure that hanging his stove from the ceiling has a religious meaning. Fire lifted up in ancient cultures has always been a religious symbol. Well, the three of them debated this point back and forth, the engineer, theologian, and psychologist, never coming to a resolution until the trapper finally enters. And they immediately ask him why he has hung this stove from the ceiling by wires. His answer was short and sweet. I had plenty of wire, but I didn't have a whole lot of stovepipe. Think about it, folks. You know, sometimes you just got to make do with what you got, right? Sort of like the old saying, if life gives you lemons, make lemonade, right? Even if that's not what you want. Have there been times in your life when you have had to make do with what you had on hand? Duct tape is always a great thing to keep in store just in case of emergencies. If you're short on stovepipe, use wire. Duct tape. There's one non-negotiable, one thing that there is not a substitute for, one thing that cannot be found or purchased or replaced or made do with something else, and that is time. What you got is what you get, and there ain't no more. You can't buy it or earn it, and when the day is done, the day is done. And when you miss the moment, there is no going back. And when Elvis has left the building, that's it. Tempus fugit, Latin phrase, usually translated into English as time flies. And it goes all the way back to one of Virgil's books. The phrase is actually fugit operabile tempus. It escapes irretrievable time. What does it mean? Time's a wasting, so get on with it, to put it in plain English. Anyone ever heard of Randy Hoffman? He's an artist, a sculptor who deals in sculptures of biblical scenes, and he's created monumental works like Christ on the cross and the Last Supper and Jesus praying and David and Goliath. Right now, here in the middle of August, if you live anywhere near Ocean City, Maryland, you can stroll down the boardwalk and it's a safe bet that you'll see some of his work. He's been doing it for 2 decades. He creates extraordinary sculptures out of beach sand and seawater, right there off the boardwalk in Ocean City, Maryland. He's an ordained minister who earns his living as an artist and views his sand sculptures as his ministry. Sand sculpting, I don't know, anyone like to sand sculpt after you were a kid? I mean, we all go to the beach, whether it's the lake or the ocean, and make our sand sculptures. It's a popular art form because it's purposefully temporary and fragile. It's not made to last. It's made to be here today and to be gone tomorrow, to be destroyed by wind and wave. The impermanence of sand, for some people, is part of the magic and part of the beauty of these sculptures. Most of us, however, we don't really see the value in the temporary, do we? In the moment, if something doesn't last or have staying power, it doesn't have value to us, right? We want to put our investments in things that last and things that endure and in things that are permanent. We want durability and sustainability and strength and endurance, whether it's our marriage, our washing machine, our job, our car, our family, or God. We desire things that last. We cling to the permanent. Maybe because deep down we know that life, no better than a sandcastle, comes and goes. And there's nothing wrong with that kind of thinking. Things that are permanent, like our God, are our rock in a sea of shifting and changing sand. Paul tells the Corinthians these words that I use so often at funerals when our minds turn to what is temporary and what is eternal. And Paul says, "For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling." Now, Paul, in our text from Ephesians this morning, urges us to be careful then how we live, not as unwise people, but wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. We're only given so much time, so we best use it wisely. We can buy more clothes or a new house, but we cannot buy more time. He knew that we have so few opportunities to create something beautiful. Every kairos, that's the word, the Greek word for time, counts. That's kairos as in the perfect time to act and to do. God's time, that is. The hymn writer puts it this way, "Work, for the night is coming." Or the writer of Psalm 103 says this, "As a father has compassion for his children, the Lord has compassion for those who fear him, for he knows how we were made. He remembers we are dust. As for mortals, their days are like grass." I just read this yesterday afternoon, right? "They flourish like a flower of the field, for the wind passes and is gone, and its place knows it no more." Paul says, make the most of the chances you get to do something right, something beautiful, something to glorify God, because evil always threatens to get in your way, and you never know when your days will end, just like the flower of the field. Or as Randy Hoffman, the sand artist, says, make something beautiful now because the tide will wash it away later. Why? Well, that's kind of rhetorical. The answer is, why not? See, sand can simply be sand and just be laying there on the beach mile after mile at the mercy of wind and wave, common and ordinary, or it can, in the hands of an artist who knows how to work with it, it can become something beautiful, at least for a time. If our life on earth is nothing more than sand or flowers or grass, then let us be the best sand or grass or flowers that we can be. The poet Mary Oliver, I know you'd love this one, Linda, she says, "Doesn't everything die at last and too soon? Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? What will you do indeed with your one wild and precious life?" Paul, whose sense of now, right now, being the appropriate time to act, was colored by knowing that one day Christ would return and the time to act would be past. He understood that his earthly life was no more than a stretch of sand upon which God, our Creator, was busy at work. And he urges us to take that same attitude and have that same mindset as he does in terms of time and our lives and what to do with it. He says, be careful, make the most of time. Don't be foolish. All through Ephesians here, understand God's purpose and plan for your life. Don't waste time with useless things. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Sing songs. Give thanks. You see, God is present in our lives now and every moment, acting, moving, shaping, today, right now, making of our time and our mortal life, if we will let him, something beautiful and something useful, taking the sand of our lives and making it into a beautiful sculpture, even if it will not and cannot last forever, opening our time to be used by God. And when we do, it's a chance to feel God's presence. Because for us, God speaks only in the language of the present moment. God speaks to us today and today alone. Because yesterday doesn't matter. And you know what? If we haven't figured between Jane on Thursday and Dick yesterday that there may not be a tomorrow, it's just God and us here, right now, right this moment. Let me repeat that. It is God and us, and right here and right now. Kairos time, the appropriate time, the fullness of time, however you want to translate it, the correct time to do and to be, and that makes our life a living prayer. And when we open ourselves up to the will of God in our lives, living carefully, understanding God's will, being filled with the Holy Spirit and singing and giving thanks, that makes us into some breathtaking art. Like you all were yesterday for Dick's service. Breathtaking works of art. You know, anyone can be sand, and the world is full of sand, but not everyone can be a sand sculpture. Part of the beauty and the risk and the tragedy is knowing that sand sculptures are frail and that they'll fall apart. And part of our risk, our beauty, our tragedy is knowing the same thing about ourselves. Part of the beauty in seeking God and finding peace is the permanence of his presence. And whether we recognize it or not, we are ultimately just made of sand and water, dust. As Genesis says it, our days are numbered. Our time here is limited. The tide is rising, the wind is blowing. We need to use our time wisely, not foolishly. We need to use our talents, our callings, to enter the kingdom of God now, to give of ourselves to others, and in the process, pray. And if we do, we will find God's beauty inside of us and around us and beyond us, because God's beauty is the only thing that's permanent. Paul said it best when he said, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And you know what? Let God use your one wild, precious life to make something beautiful today and tomorrow too, if God ordains it. Remember, tempus fugit. Amen.